Hey, everyone. I know that you are impatiently waiting for my new show, The Nod, which is coming soon. But in the meantime, I want to share another podcast with you called The Pitch. It's Gimlet's first reality show, and it brings real people who are trying to start their own companies into the room to pitch their ideas to venture capitalists, aka people with lots and lots of money. And these people are not fooling around. Investors ask hard questions and call out any BS they hear. Hundreds of thousands and sometimes millions of dollars are on the line, and you get to eavesdrop on super secret conversations that usually happen behind closed doors. The Pitch is hosted by Josh Muccio. He used to be a founder himself, so he's been through this all before. Once he sold his company, he started a podcast. Gimlet picked it up for season two, and we couldn't be happier to have him here. So without further ado, here is a preview of one of my favorite episodes. It's an intense episode because the founder does a lot of things wrong, and the investors aren't afraid to call him out. The part you'll hear is him pitching his product, but you'll want to subscribe to the feed to hear the second half, where we find out what happened after he left the room.
From Gimlet, this is The Pitch. I'm Josh Muccio. On this show, we hear real entrepreneurs pitch real investors for real money. It comes down to that critical moment when founders put it all on the line and investors decide their fate.
You could do gambling in a hotel room in Vegas.
That's not convincing to me.
Can I talk? Okay, first of all, shame on you.
This week, an entrepreneur pitches his idea to reinvent the hotel experience. But when things don't go according to plan, will our startup founder be able to throw out his script and adjust on the fly? First, let's meet our panel of investors.
I'm Phil Nadell with Barbara Corcoran Venture Partners.
Our first investor is Phil Nadell. He co-founded one of the largest syndicates on AngelList called Barbara Corcoran Venture Partners.
If for some reason the members don't bite, then the thing falls apart.
Phil is a straight shooter looking for companies without a lot of question marks.
This is Jillian Manis. My fund is Structure Capital.
Then there's Jillian Manis. Jillian is something of a legend in the world of venture capital. In her early 20s, she survived domestic abuse that left her living in shelters in New York City. She was able to pick herself up, start several companies, and is now a multimillionaire.
You can have the most incredible product, but if you don't know how to talk about it, you're going to have a problem accelerating it.
Jillian tends to take center stage and really drive the conversation.
My name's Jake Chapman with Gelt Venture Capital.
This is Jake Chapman. He founded the venture arm of Gelt Inc., an investment firm with over $1 billion in assets under management.
They're going to shut you down on that name. It's definitely trademark infringement.
As a former attorney, Jake brings the lawyerly mindset into a pitch. If a founder can hold up under cross-examination, he might just invest.
Hey, I'm Howie Diamond.
That's Howie, who founded the VC firm Ranch Ventures.
There needs to be a moral and ethical kind of code that's aligned.
Howie is looking for altruistic companies. He'll only go in on a startup that's making the world a better place.
I'm Sheil, a partner at 500 Startups.
Joining us this week is Sheil Manat. He broke into the big leagues of venture capital when he sold his company, Fee Fighters, to Groupon.
This isn't going to work. You should do something else. Seriously.
You can always count on Sheil to say exactly what he's thinking. And he appreciates the same candor in an entrepreneur. Okay, on with the pitch.
Hey, how are you?
Hey.
Hi.
Hi. Right, you're here, Peter. Right.
When today's founder, Peter Bokoff, walks into the room, it quickly becomes clear that he's got this demeanor you don't often see in someone about to pitch their company. He's extremely laid back.
All right, cool. So my name is Peter. We invented the iMirror, which is a Minority Report style interface on a mirror for hotels. I spent a lot of time growing up in hotels. My parents were managers of hotels, so the staff were like my family. I spent a lot of time in unbooked rooms watching TV and ordering way too much room service, but absolutely loved it.
While growing up in hotels, Peter learned firsthand just how much goes into guest services. And he was constantly thinking about how to improve the hotel experience.
So fast forward 20 years, watching a conceptual video made by Corning called The Day Made of Glass. Some of you may have seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that video, yeah.
So Peter sees this video and it looks like something pulled out of a futuristic sci-fi movie. It shows a family's home outfitted top to bottom with interactive glass. The kitchen counter, the fridge, the bathroom mirror, every window, it's all interactive and touch-enabled. And this is when Peter has his eureka moment.
And I immediately thought, this can change the way customer service is done in a hotel room. Hotels haven't been disrupted since widely adoption of the TV in like the 1950s. So think back the last time you're walking to a hotel room, there's that closet on your left or your right, and the mirror across from it. If you could tap on that mirror, order room service, book shows, book an Uber, change the lighting, play some music, you can even check out on the mirror. That's what we built. We're raising a million seed to roll up 5,000 mirrors to hotels.
At this point, Peter opens up his laptop and presses play on a video that shows investors just what iMirror can do. The investors begin to narrate what they see on the screen.
Walking through Vegas, it's the ultimate immersive guest experience.
Right? Two people walk into the room.
Oh, there's a virtual concierge. Two people walk into the room.
Someone touches the surface of the iMirror, and a list of options pops up.
It says room service on the mirror or all these other things. Oh, and all the photos of the food that I can order. So I just touch it with my finger and immediately your food will be up on the mirror. It says your food will be up in 30 minutes.
Yep.
So instead of that old book,
now someone is playing a slot machine on the mirror. And this is when Sheil, who's normally pretty skeptical, leans forward and starts to get really animated.
Oh, I like that. I like this.
So can you
actually like gamble in the room?
Yeah. That's a live demo.
That's live?
Yeah.
Is that real money gaming they're doing on the thing or no?
This would be.
Okay.
So the hotel, so the Las Vegas.
You could do gambling in a hotel room in Vegas.
As long as we've connected and we disabled the one on the floor. Oh. On the casino floor. You just can't have more. You just can't add
More units. For
Las Vegas, it adds gambling time. So not only do you get them down the casino, but you also, once they get to the room, they're all drunk already, then they start playing with the mirror.
I have one in-the-weeds UX comment about using the mirror in the hotels for room service.
This is Jake, our former lawyer, who tends to obsess about the tiny details.
I think you might run into a problem where people who are looking at themselves in the mirror and then choosing food. I'm serious. I think this is going to reduce the conversion food orders in hotel rooms. And it's a bit in the weeds. I think you might see that.
Or maybe based on like your body type, they'll recommend different foods for you.
Go with the salad.
Or not to eat at all.
Go with the salad.
The investors are starting to have fun, which can be a sign that they're getting excited about an idea. But before they get too carried away, Peter takes control and steers them back to his pitch.
With a mirror, you spend on average 18 minutes a day looking in a mirror, and no one is competing for your attention on that. And my 6 and 4-year-old niece and nephew walk up to the mirror, immediately saw themselves and started swiping through photos.
So Peter has shown his promo video and talked up the iMirror's features. But Jillian, who always keeps an eye on the big picture, moves past the slick presentation to get to the heart of what Peter is really selling.
So I always like to hear from founders, what is your best question you've ever gotten from a VC that really helped you to distill either your pitch or something that you wanted to let us know, but we weren't asking the right questions?
It wasn't a VC, but it was Rob from 500 Startups.
Okay.
And he really wanted to instill telling the story of, because people don't understand that it's a pain point in a hotel room.
Yes.
But the hotels are suffering a lot by not being able to reach millennials. Their demographic is aging.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having a really tough time competing and getting millennials to come in, spend money in the hotels,
mm-hmm.
and want to be there.
Mm-hmm. Why do we need this? Why is it important to me? not to me, because I'm clearly not a millennial, for everybody who's now listening to this. In case you wondered, I'm not a millennial. Actually, none of us are. We decided.
I'm on the cusp.
We're cusping. So it's the why. It's not what and how. It's why. Tell me why this is going to be. Let's pretend I'm a millennial. I've invested in hotels. I own some hotels. I know this space pretty well. Yeah. So explain to me what's the why to them, because it's cool. It has to be more than that.
No, it's extremely personalized experience for you. So based on your loyalty program and the information we know about you in the room,
right,
we can give you a personalized experience, concierge service to you in the room.
Right. So when I return as a repeat customer, yeah, everything will already be there. So just for everybody here, what hotels do, after you leave a room, they literally go in, they count how many towels you use, what portion of the meal that you've eaten, they how much of the soap that you've used, everything, and then they store it. And that's how they've been collecting data for years.
Peter is pitching iMIR as a personalized in-room concierge and entertainment hub for guests. But Jillian has a different vision.
Because for a hotel, yes, the customer is fantastic. Yeah. But everything that comes before and after that, before they check in and after they leave, is actually some of the most important data that we want to capture. Yeah. And so I think that needs to be part of this. This is not only for your, you know, for your consumer. It's actually for the hotel efficiency.
Right.
And that's a bigger play. See, I think you need to incorporate that into your pitch. Okay.
Really interesting. I mean, I know I've talked to a gentleman who used to run hospitality for the Ritz-Carlton.
Oh, yeah.
And he was talking about this, that they would come into the room afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
And if you had moved the waste bin from next to the desk,
oh, yeah,
to the foot of the bed, that's the next time you stay at a Ritz, the waste bin will be at the foot of the bed,
yeah,
because they've come in and cataloged your personal preferences.
Right.
But I'm sure it's paper and pen. So a system that was just a touchscreen for the housekeeping staff.
And when housekeeping walks in, it, yes, can bring up all the information of things specific to you that they might want to do.
Well, for future reference.
Yeah.
So Jake says hotels are stuck on paper and pen when it comes to collecting data. And the investors like the idea of bringing hospitality into the 21st century. Here's Howie.
Does it even need to be a mirror? Could it just be something that's on the wall or installed, or that could be portable? Because I actually kind of like ordering food from bed, or I like doing things
from wherever.
There's a complimentary app to it. So if you want to do that on your phone, you can. If you want to add an iPad to the room, you can.
So why not just have it all on the app?
In a room, if I walk past that mirror and it says hello to me and has my name on there and says I can do some things and prompts me to interact and I can change the lighting, turn on a song.
Everything you described can happen on an iPad, but your focus, you're saying that it should happen on a mirror on a wall.
Yeah.
That's not convincing to me.
Where is it live right now?
We have live in retail. We have one big client that we have an NDA with, and then we launch with Tommy Hilfiger, their store of the future, in 2 weeks.
So the iMirror isn't just an idea. It's already a reality, not in hotels, but in retail stores.
It's basically a concierge fitting room experience.
Right.
The items pop up right on the screen, and you can learn more about the item, or you can ask for a different color and size.
Oh.
That information gets sent directly to the store associate.
Right.
They respond, and they say, I'm coming in 1 to 2 or 2 to 3 minutes, and then they bring your item back.
Oh.
So you start in retail, but now you're moving to hotels. Why?
Right.
So hotel was always the vision. We just had our first big break with an international retailer. So it allowed us to get to commercialization and learn all the stuff we need to learn. So we'll be rolling out more mirrors in those as we go, but we're looking to do a pilot in hotels to start.
So Peter says hotels were always the vision. And the only reason he launched in retail is because a retail client saw his product and wanted to buy it for $450,000. But the question is, now that he's finally pursuing the hotel market, will he keep going in retail?
So the customer who paid you $450K, they're in retail?
Yeah.
And for how many?
We have 5 units out with them.
5 units. And how many mirrors could they possibly represent?
They have 330 stores.
you're currently deployed, those five mirrors are currently deployed in how many stores?
It's the five different stores. Seoul, yeah. South Korea, Mall of America, Santa Monica, Vancouver. They've got analytics on how many people touch the mirror a day. So the flagships are launched in New York. In the first 11 days, had it was over 20,000 interactions.
20,000 interactions with the mirror in 11 days sounds pretty good. Peter may not mean to, but he's making a good case for why his mirrors really belong in retail. And iMirror is about to debut at one of Tommy Hilfiger's most prestigious locations.
Tommy Hilfiger is doing their own marketing and branding for their store of the future.
Okay.
It's in the biggest shopping mall in London, West Stratford.
Right. If that is successful, what does success look like?
For them, it's 700 stores. So for us, that's at least 700 units.
Right. They've got, but you're only launching in one store. So, or it's one store, and based on the success of that store, then they will do another.
Yeah, so it would take 5 years to roll out to their whole fleet.
Right.
And it would be staged over the 5 years. Yeah. Even if we did 10 mirrors a store, that's 7,000. Yeah. But if you get the Venetian, one hotel in one market, that's 7,200 rooms. It's one of the reasons that we don't think retail is the right spot.
Okay, you just need one hotel.
Did you catch that? Peter says, despite his early success, he doesn't think retail is ultimately the right spot for iMirror, which means he's asking investors to buy into his plan for hotels, a market he hasn't yet proven.
Have you had conversations with hotels? Like, how far along are you in the sales cycle with hotels?
We've been meeting with MGM on the 27th, okay. I think we just booked.
Okay, so you're just starting to have these conversations.
Yeah, so this is just, we're just pushing into that.
Let me go back to retail, okay, for a second.
Sure.
I like the idea of this being in a dressing room. There are many times we're in a dressing room where you need another size and you have to stick your head out or go around half naked. The other part of it is, can you buy while you're there? Is it a point of purchase? So can you pay for it as well in the dressing room? Oh, I like this, not have to wait for someone else. You just walk in, love it, pay for it, stick in your bag and leave.
Yeah, so on our roadmap, it's in the next 6 to 8 months to finish developing that.
Would be a game changer for retail.
The cost for us to do a 10 mirror pilot in a hotel is not significant enough for us not to do it.
Okay.
So that's our plan right now, is to do a 10 mirror pilot and then test it out. So it is what we're passionate about right now. Yeah, we're not stopping the retail side.
And you're
we're just not as aggressively pursuing it.
Okay.
It's decision time. Has Peter talked investors into his vision of hotels as the future for iMirror? Howie's up first.
If you should give me a demo and I was just like completely blown away, I'd probably, you know, that would be, there'd be a higher probability for me to want to go in on this deal. I still think that I'm more bullish on like the mirror aspect of it. The form factor sort of seems like a little bit of a red herring in terms of like the actual problem that you're solving. I think the problem could be solvable in a way with much less friction in terms of just really a pure play software. Mm-hmm. That would be something that I'd be more excited about. So I think for those reasons, I'm going to pass.
Okay.
Howie's out. Phil's up next. He's been quiet in this pitch, and it's hard to tell which way he's leaning.
I really have to agree with you. I have serious concerns because of the form factor. It just doesn't get me that excited. And also, just from your traction standpoint, I mean, having started kind of in retail and now shifting your focus, let's say, to hotels where you don't yet have a foot in the door, for me, I'm gonna pass.
Okay.
So Phil passed. Here's Jake.
For me, whenever it's a physical product, I look at it through the lens of me as the consumer, would I use this? And I'm thinking of myself in a Vegas hotel room, like, I'm not going to want to stand in front of that mirror and interact. Like, I never see myself doing that. Maybe
I try to avoid mirrors at all costs. If you look like me, you want to avoid mirrors.
To be fair, though, there's four of the wrong gender sitting in front of me for spending time in front of a mirror.
Oh, yeah.
No, so I wouldn't use it in that context. So it's just hard for me to get over that. I really like the idea that Jillian pitched, which is just the data collection for hotels. But if that's the product, I think we're really talking about an app that you get the housekeeping staff to download.
I do feel you guys are potentially thinking that someone, I'm pitching you an iPhone, and you're telling me that people want to use a BlackBerry in the room. And that form factor so and unfair. User experience doesn't matter?
Peter, shame
form,
on
form
you.
Form factor and user experience are incredibly important.
Yes.
Okay. I do feel like you're trying to tell me that they want to use a BlackBerry in the room, which
can
is
I, can I talk? Correct. Okay, first of all, shame on you.
And I'm Canadian too.
Yeah, double shame on you.
Up until this point, Jillian's been pretty responsive to this pitch. She highlighted what data brings to the equation, and she really keyed in to the retail side of things. But she did not like that iPhone versus BlackBerry comment.
Here's the thing. We all start companies for millennials. I'm worried about this in the hotel space simply because, one, I've invested into and I have investments into Las Vegas hotels, A. Mm-hmm. B, I have hotels all over the country and, in fact, two overseas. So I do know the hotel business. I do know millennials. First of all, with the millennials, I worry that they don't spend that much time in the hotel room. It's all about getting outside of the hotel. They go in, they do their hair, they do their makeup, and then they do everything else because they want to network. I mean, they want to be where the action is. And the action is not in their hotels until after they're drunk, and then the action's in the hotels. But
that's different.
That's a different action. But okay, let me do the flip side of this. In the retail space, I think that's your market. Okay, I think there is so much that you could add to the services of those mirrors in those dressing rooms, you know, and it is such a huge value to brands. It's the point of purchase. It is simply that. So I would love to see this more really dive deeply into retail rather than divert your attention and your dollars to hotel. And that's the reason why I won't. I'm going to pass.
So four of the five investors are out. Peter's last chance is with Sheil, who was the first one to really get into the in-room gambling concept.
I tend to agree with Jillian. I think there's probably an opportunity in retail. Although it's a lot less in numbers, you can probably charge a lot more. You can probably have a higher profit margin on that retail side.
And then you're getting a percentage of every sale.
I think the cross-selling opportunities are huge too, right? Like you should definitely get a cut of every time you sell a pair of shoes to match
a pair of
pants, right?
There's a lot of opportunity in retail. I really want you to think about that.
So Sheil didn't exactly say it, but he's out. Like the other investors, he's more excited about retail.
So the thing is, like, retailers and malls, like, I talk to them all the time, they're always like, what is something that's going to get people into the mall? And so I think you have a buyer in retailers and malls that are just like hungry for any technology.
Yes.
And so I think they're much more so than hotels are.
Yes.
So I think it's a much more receptive audience.
Yeah, we have a ton of traction in retail.
So go do the retail and see how that works. Mm-hmm. Raise this around the retail. And then if we can prove this and really, really dominate this market, then we're going to go into hotels.
I agree with everyone on the retail. And then I respectfully disagree on the hotel. Well, I think you'd be very surprised.
So this is one opinion. What I say about opinions are, if you hear opinion once, it's still an opinion. If you hear opinion twice, it's still opinion. If you hear an opinion three times, that's a consensus, and that's something. Then you do something about it. Well, Peter, we loved having you.
Thank you. I want you
to succeed, and I think that as you launch in Tommy, I'd love you to come back to me on this, because I'd love to really see how that launch goes. But thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being here. Good job with the presentation.
Good job.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And next time, bring a mirror.
Yeah, bring a mirror.
So Peter didn't get the funding he hoped for. He walks out of the room, but investors keep chatting about the pitch. Surprisingly, they can't stop talking about how much they love iMirror. Just not the way Peter pitched it.
It's cool technology, but...
I'm telling you, he's missing this. He is missing this. This is so huge.
Retail's the way to go.
Unfortunately, the retail side of things isn't what Peter pitched today. After the break, we'll find out how things are going with iMirror and whether Peter was right to stick to his guns about hotels. Stay with us.
All right. That was the pitch. Go listen and subscribe on their feed to hear how iMirror is doing now and how Peter feels about his pitch looking back.